My name is Stephen Slaughter, and this is the Envisioning Education Podcast. I am a teacher on a quest for better ways to support learning. Leaving Ithaca after my first two conversations with Rusty and Matt, I drove east to Albany to meet Heather and her family. Heather Costell and I were members of the first cohort of Another Way, a six-month exploration of self-directed learning. Another Way was this pretty perfect thing that came along just when I needed it. At the start of 2021, midway through that difficult COVID year, I was contemplating the future. I decided that I needed to really dig into my own self-study of all things SDE, potentially taking the first semester off from teaching following our move back to the U.S. In addition to the thousands of details of transitioning back, I knew that because teaching is so absorbing, if I took on a full-time job at a school, it'd be really hard to get anywhere in this learning process. Then out of the blue, I learned about the formation of a new course for people exactly like me, people looking for ways to support children and their learning outside of the mainstream structures. I was so excited to be part of this group, led by four mentors experienced in different aspects of SDE. In addition to monthly large group sessions, Heather and I were in a small group together, so we got to hear more about one another's lives and process all of this more deeply. As you'll hear in the interview, when COVID first sent kids home in spring 2020, she saw it as an opportunity to try unschooling. This process takes time, and it can be pretty challenging for parents. This transition is sometimes called deschooling, and both kids and their adult caregivers need to go through it. It's one thing to believe that children should have full autonomy, but what do you do if they choose to spend their time in ways you don't see as valuable? Longtime practitioners of SDE, including our Another Way mentors, say that it's common for kids to go through a sort of detox when they first begin unschooling, almost a testing out if the adults are really serious. So I can play video games all day, every day, and you're okay with that? I'm told that kids usually work through this unschooling process and then come to a place of awareness, a sort of enlightenment. This is my life. What do I want to do with it? Nobody's here forcing me to do anything, so what do I want to do? What do I value? And what steps do I need to take to achieve my goals? Isn't this the place we want kids to get to? A place of taking responsibility for one's own life? And if we want this, what conditions are we giving them to nurture that personal responsibility? And I need to keep something else in mind. Before I go judging a kid for wasting his time, what do I do when I have unstructured time on my hands? As adults, how much of our time are we investing in self-improvement versus squandering it on social media? Even as I work on this new podcast, I have to be honest and admit that I get distracted more often than I'd like to admit. So maybe it isn't just the kids who struggle with maximizing our time. I was excited to meet Heather and her husband in person, and I was especially glad that her kids agreed to join us for the interview. As unschoolers, they were not going to be coerced and could have said no, thank you. But they were game. We set up on their bright, breezy front porch on a quiet street in Albany, New York. All right, this afternoon I'm here with Heather and Travis and Hazel and Harvey. Can you each just say hello and tell us like who you are in the family, maybe to start?
So I'm Heather and I am the wife and mom.
Hi, I'm Travis. I'm the father and husband.
I'm Hazel and I'm the daughter.
I'm Harvey and I am the son.
Okay, awesome. Thanks. I'm super excited, especially that Hazel and Harvey are here, because the whole dream of this podcast has been hearing from the kids. As I'm trying to think through, like, what does it mean for kids to be more self-directed? I've been reading books and watching videos and listening to other podcasts that are super helpful, talking to a lot of people. I met Heather in our Another Way cohort. And so all of that's been great. But one of the things that it's been has been a lot of adults talking to other adults about these things that we care deeply about. We love kids and we want kids to thrive. And so we're trying to think about ways that that happens. But what I'm not hearing, the missing piece has been like, what is this experience like for kids? What is it like for kids to be in school today? Just a regular conventional school. And what is it like for kids who are going to different kinds of alternative schools, self-directed schools, as well as those kind of somewhere in the middle or who are transitioning, doing different homeschooling things and whatever. So as Heather and I got to know each other this last 6 months, we've been, she's been telling me about your family and kind of the place that you're in. So I'm just excited to hear a little bit more of your story and just let you talk about what this year has been like. So I'm going to try to mostly let you guys talk. And just so you two know, I'm most interested in your thoughts and perspective. I will let your parents talk sometimes, but mostly I want to hear from you. And okay. I think other people do too. All right. So tell me about like you two, maybe one of you. Give me a little bit of a rundown of like your educational history. Tell us how old you are and when did you go to school and what was the schools like and what are you doing now? Maybe give us sort of set us up for where we are right now.
Okay, so I'm 12 years old. I used to go to New Scotland Elementary. And that school, I did a lot of worksheets there. I didn't really enjoy it that much. Then I went to Montessori Magnet School. And I did a lot of worksheets there too. And then that was also kind of boring. I had some not so nice teachers. Then I went to Woodland Hill Montessori School. That it was more hands-on, you know, Montessori type things. But I still had to do a lot of tests and online things, which that was also not the most enjoyable. And now I'm doing unschooling, which it's a lot better. I get to, you know, choose what I do. I have the freedom to do what I want in my day. Skateboard, play video games, draw, do art, Legos, all that stuff.
How about you, Hazel?
I am 10 years old, and I went to Montessori Magnet, and I don't really remember that much stuff from there, but I had a pretty nice teacher, and after that I went to Woodland Hill, and then I had a mean teacher, and it was pretty boring there, because...
And then, so what are you doing right now, then?
Right now, I am listening to music, reading, roller skating, and hanging out with my friends, usually.
I'm an English teacher, and I taught middle school for a long time, and fifth grade. So I always have to ask, like, have you read anything lately that you like?
I read The Bailey School Kids. It's a chapter book.
And is that like a series?
Yeah.
Cool. Nice. Yeah, I'm a big fan of Kid Lit, and I always try to get my adult friends who like to read kids literature, because a lot of times it's just as good as adult literature, but it gets going like right away. It doesn't take 100 pages to get started. Okay, so why, right? Like, the big question is, I think for many people might be like, why, what were you guys seeing, Heather and Travis, about the schooling that they were doing? A lot of people would think, oh, it's, you know, Montessori, it's, there's more freedom or more hands-on learning. What kind of brought you along to a place where you thought we're going to take the plunge and try going that next step into more unschooling?
I think a lot of it had to do with what was going on at the time. Like, the pandemic had hit, and up until then, it seemed like it was, you know, a good alternative to a public school. There was a lot more hands-on activities. They did a lot of things for the community, a lot of field trips. And so comparing it to, like, a public school, I felt like they were getting just a more hands-on approach, and that was something I was really looking for. And then once the pandemic hit and school went online, is sort of when everything became clearer to me in terms of, like, how happy they were with their schooling. I think, you know, they really struggled with, like the worksheets and a lot of the things that they were being taught, just it wasn't connecting to their lives. And I think seeing how unhappy they became during that time was pretty stressful, you know, for our family and as a whole, having to see just their happiness decline with school. And I think at that point I just thought, well, if we're already in the most alternative school I can think of right now, which is a Montessori school, I don't really know what is next. Like, I don't know what else is out there. And that's when I sort of, you know, started hearing about self-directed learning, and I kept hearing names like Peter Gray, John Holt being thrown around. And so one night I just remember after the kids went to bed, we went on YouTube and just started watching some of these videos and hearing Peter Gray talk about play and self-direction really spoke to me. And it was like this light bulb went off and I thought, this is like what I've been looking for as a teacher, but also like for what I feel like would be best for my kids too.
So you were teaching as well as momming with them?
Right. I was teaching at the school that they attended.
Okay.
So we got to spend our days like, you know, going to school together, and I would see them in the hall, and then after school they'd come by and hang out, and then we'd go home. But so yeah, it was definitely interesting.
So Travis, is anything to add to?
Yeah,
to
that? I mean, it's something we always kind of had in mind, was like, I guess you could call it an alternative path, but you know, Heather had been teaching, and we were fortunate enough with my job to have the ability for her to resign from her teaching position to kind of be with the children like full time, and do that from home. So we didn't go into the daycare system. So we were kind of on the outside of these systems, where you would, the next step would be you would go into the school, and then so it was kind of a choppy road in the very beginning of their preschool, and then they started going to an elementary school locally, and then we ended up in a magnet school, the Montessori magnet school. None of those were like extremely traumatic experiences or anything like that, but we always, I think, questioned, you know, is this a path we want to continue on? And then, you know, kind of fast forwarding, glossing over a lot of the details, these guys already put into the picture, like the pandemic was probably like a natural like refresh point for a lot of things, for us, and for the kids, I guess, too. Like, so I feel like we're still in the beginning phases of it, as we'll probably talk about a little bit, but.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why I'm excited to talk to you guys, is that, I think it would be interesting for listeners to kind of hear a spectrum of people at different phases and stages, not just people that are already fully immersed in, or their kids grew up doing that from the start. Before I move back to the kids, were you both always kind of on the same page? I know that often with couples, there's one who gets more gung-ho about alternative learning, and the other who's more just personalities, a little more traditional or a little more skeptical.
I would say like she's done a brunt of the research and everything. I'm on board, and I will like delve into things as needed, or as I'm interested to do. We're in agreement. We're in alignment. We have been from the beginning, pretty much, and we talk everything through. And there's not really much in terms of like opposition to any particular thing. It's both of us trying to work through some of our struggles with as they come up.
I mean, I think even prior to having kids, when I was teaching in a public school, like he would hear all the stories when I would get home about how this doesn't feel right. Kids shouldn't be sitting in desks all day. It just doesn't, this isn't what I thought teaching was going to be. There's so many unhappy kids. And then, you know, that obviously then we had our own kids, and I got to see that happen to our own kids. So I think he got to hear it all this whole time. And then once we had kids, it really affected us, you know, more deeply.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Speaking of the kids, back to the kids. So, I'm curious, like, kind of, there's a stage that people call deschooling. You know, if you've been, you guys, I'm sure know these terms, right? So if you've been to a regular school for a while, and then you shift into unschooling, and can we just define unschooling? Anybody? Like, how is it different than, so you're home, we're home right now in the middle of the day. How is unschooling different than like other kinds of homeschooling?
Well, homeschooling, you still do a lot of work that you don't get to choose, you know, what you do. Either parent says what you do, and that's also not as, you know, you don't have all the freedom to do what you want. You probably still have a schedule and things like that. Well, you can have a schedule for unschooling, but you can, you know, you can choose, like, if you want to go to the park, go on a hike, whatever. When homeschooling, it's you do this, then you do that, then you're done and you have a bit of time to do what you want.
Okay, so you're following more of a curriculum, typically.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when you switched over, what has this last year been like, kind of, especially thinking back to the beginning? What's it been like when you so suddenly there you are, day one, and of unschooling, and, like, there's no directions. There's no, like, list or curriculum. What was that like the first week?
First week, I was playing like 8 hours of video games a day and just like barely doing anything else because I was not used to it at all. And like that, and then it turned into me like really like getting into gaming more. And then I had gotten into skateboarding more because I had more time to do it. And then, I don't know, it was just the first week was really different.
Sounds fun.
Yeah.
What about you, Hazel?
Well, the first week I basically did what Harvey did. Played a lot of video games. Then I did scootering. And then I got rollerblades. Then I read those for a little bit.
So Heather, as we've talked about this over the months, and you've been, I hope it's okay to say this in front of your kids. If you, like, there were many times when you were just like, what are we doing? You know, just like, is this good? Like, is this good for, like, he's playing video games all day long, you know? Like, how can this be, like, school? Even in a more, like, is it any kind of school, you know? Or learning? So I know that there's been, and I know that, I'm sure, my kids are older, but I know that if they were younger, like, they would do the same exact thing. Yeah, so, like, you had a number of moments of, like, is this doing... can you talk about that a little bit? Like, because that's part of it. I think this part, it's an important part.
Sure.
The doubts are important too.
I think, you know, as a teacher, when you're a teacher, you're always reading the latest books on how to teach reading better, how to teach writing better. So when it came to the unschooling, I was like, well, the first thing I did was to, like, read a lot of books to see, like, am I doing this right? And even now that I'm saying that now, it's kind of funny because there's really not a right way. But back at the time, I was like, I wanted to have some kind of idea of what it would look like. And so I was using other people's Instagram accounts and books that I've been reading to sort of gauge whether or not we were doing this the right way. And I realized that there really is not a right way and that every family's different. But for some reason, even with all that self-talk, like, I still was really worried to see them, like, dive into the gaming for so many hours. And I was like, I don't know if this is what we thought this was going to be. I thought they were going to, you know, have craft time and then go outside and play and then come back in and build these amazing Lego sculptures or something. And instead it was like gaming so much. But I think when you're in school for so many years and you're told what to do for, you know, your entire day, it makes it hard for them to know, you know. I think at first it was like, I'm going to take as much of this gaming as I can because I never get to have this before. Like, this
like
is amazing. Yeah, a binge.
Yeah.
But then I think, like, as time went on and we kept having conversations with them, like, you know, is this making you feel good to sit there for this long? And, you know, we shared our concerns in a way that wasn't coercive, but we definitely wanted to voice, like, our concerns with the amount of time being spent. But I think as time went on, they started to self-regulate more and realize, like, I don't want to really do this for this many hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't feel good. And then things started to balance out more.
Okay.
But it's still a daily struggle, obviously, but.
And I mean, I always think too, I try to run things through the filter of what is the way that adults live, you know, all the time, or kids that are in school. Like, do kids in school binge video games sometimes? Yes. You know, do adults, you know, overdo it on social media? Sure, you know? And so there's many things, even as a teacher in a classroom, as I've been teaching, I felt like, would I impose this thing on adults? Would I impose it on myself, this rule that I have in place? Like, for instance, going to the bathroom. You guys have had different schools, so you probably had bathroom passes and systems and stuff. But, like, I had those, and then I stopped, and I just said, you know, you don't need my permission to go to the bathroom. Like, just go when you need to go and then come back. And it was hard to do that because, I mean, it wasn't hard for me in the classroom, but it was hard because I felt like I was throwing other teachers under the bus. Mm. Because if I was saying, like, hey, I trust you, I trust that you won't take advantage of this freedom, please don't, you know? We can go back to, like, treating you like little kids that need a lot of direction, but maybe we don't have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Implicitly, I was kind of saying, well, your other teachers don't trust you, you know? And I didn't really want to do that to them, but I really cared about the kids feeling respected. And I think kids mostly did that. And again, though, do parents, do adults in offices, when they go get a cup of coffee, do they always need a cup of coffee? Or do they maybe need to just stretch their legs or clear their head or mm-hmm. talk to somebody for a couple minutes? And so people would always ask me, like, well, what if they take advantage of it? What if they go off and they're just talking with their friends or meeting up in the bathroom for to talk for 2 minutes? And I would say, like, yeah, like, do adults do that? Is that so harmful? You know? I think that, you know, many of us do some of these same things on a regular basis. But maybe it's because it's not during school hours or official.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, changing the perspective of how you're looking at it. Like, you're looking at them gaming. And maybe imposing a negative perception of that for yourself. Where there's all sorts of things going on. I mean, you know, really. Like, they're reading, they're figuring out problems, they're, you know, and not actively doing it, just naturally doing it, which is kind of what we're promoting, is the natural ability to be able to go into a situation and figure it out.
I think a lot of, you know, older, you know, like adults, millennial and Gen Xers and boomers and stuff hear about video games, they're like, what, they're playing Pac-Man all day long, you know? It's like, yeah. No, not Pac-Man, that was from the 1980s. And yeah, I've tried to even make the case, and kids could make it better than I could, I think, that yes, like, which games do you like, Harvey?
Fortnite, Minecraft, Grand Theft Auto, like, those type of games.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah, I mean, they're pretty immersive and storytelling based, and a lot of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, it's funny with Minecraft, especially. I'm gonna just talk about Minecraft for a second. I grew up loving Legos. I had a huge tub of Legos, and I would build stuff all the time. And I've noticed when in recent years, you don't really buy Legos like that anymore so much. You buy these kits that are really like teaching you how to be like an assembly line worker, right? I mean, like follow directions, not create new things. Ironically, the online forum of Minecraft is a creative open space. So it's strange to me that a 2D screen-based thing is actually in some ways a lot more creative than Legos, at least in the way that they're being marketed right now or something. Okay, so have, like, your mom said that things have changed over time. Like, to what extent do you guys feel like you've, in this last year, that you've changed in the way that you spend your time, and as you guys have kind of negotiated back and forth and talked through, like, what is a good use of our time? What kind of things are you doing now that are different maybe than the stuff you did at the beginning?
Let's see. So now I got into Pokemon cards again. I used to collect those in school, but now I'm more into like selling them and getting like the expensive ones.
That's good. Learning how to do some business.
Yeah. Well, and then I don't know, video games, I spread them out a bit. I do some in the morning. I do a couple hours in the morning, and then I do a few hours in the afternoon to like helping out I need to help out with dinner. And then I have all the afternoon and the late morning to do stuff. And let's see, I'm still into skateboarding, all that. And I like Legos a lot. I've been trying to find some ways to build a cool like rubber band gun for Legos.
That's awesome. My son got really into that. He learned, I'll have to hook you guys up. He's 20 years old now, but he found some YouTube videos that showed how to make like a Lego gun that has an advancing clip, a clip that has like, it shoots little Legos with rubber bands. It's super complicated. And he was doing that when he was like maybe 12 or 13.
Wow.
Yeah. It was pretty cool. Okay. So I'm going to ask Hazel a question. So people are listening to this right now, and they're thinking, some of them are maybe thinking like, okay, you'd be in fifth grade, right mm-hmm. now? Like, she would be in fifth grade, she's doing all this fun stuff, but she's not learning whatever, long division, whatever the thing is, that the math thing maybe, or the reading, or like, she's not getting that right now if she doesn't want to. Is that fair to say? How would you, I'll let your parents answer this in a second too, but I want to know, like, how would you respond to that if somebody was like, are you worried that you'll need this, like some of this knowledge later, and you're not getting it through the way you're spending your time now?
I mean, yeah, I'm probably going to start working on that soon and also do other things like. But
so that's what you would tell somebody, that you're like, you do have plans to be working on that kind of stuff just on your own?
Yeah.
Okay. What about you, Harvey?
Yeah, I haven't done like long division. I wasn't really good at division in school, but I would practice it, but I just don't really, it's not really, I don't know, the most enjoyable thing to do.
I mean, putting you on the spot like this, I know, is kind of like, might seem unfair, but I feel like that's part of the job of what I'm trying to do with this podcast, is like ask the questions that I think other people would ask, you know, because I'm a parent, and my kids are out of high school now, and they went through, you know, regular school, conventional school. So as a teacher, or as maybe somebody who's interested in opening a learning center where we would do this kind of stuff all the time, I have to be persuaded myself that I think that like the kids are going to be okay in the end. And I think this is a uncomfortable maybe part of the question of like, so mm-hmm. Do you have anything to add to that, Heather or Travis?
I feel like if there's something that you need to know, and it's really important to you, you will find a way to get that. Whether it's, like, if it's a math thing, if they really wanted to know how to do long division, there are so many resources online that are free. There's tutors. And if they really wanted to know how to do that, we would help them find the resources so they could accomplish that goal. In terms of having to know it right now, I'm not really worried because they're not really using that math currently. I mean, they do use math a lot when they're playing their games or even just in real life activities, like when we're cooking or going somewhere on a trip, calculating like how many miles. But if it's something that they, you know, if it's something schoolish, I would label it as schoolish. If someone were to ask, well, aren't you worried about such and such skills? I feel like I would say, well, when they need it, they'll get it. And it'd be more meaningful, and I feel like it would be something they would remember more.
Well, I try to think about it in terms of my work career. If there was some skill that I needed for work, so currently I'm transitioning to more of an engineering role, and so I'll need to know some Python programming. I really don't know very much right now. But even if I had, when I was going to college, had learned programming, Python didn't even exist at the time. And if I learned it back then, I would have just relearned it now. And so it's more of being able to bootstrap and learn on your own than it is to here's a bunch of skills I'm going to dump in your head, and then hopefully you'll have to use them someday. Oh, you're going to become a plumber? Well, now you're going to have to learn that.
Yeah. I mean, I was talking with, I was teaching high school seniors, you know, and I've asked them once in a while, you know, like that, you know, big chem test you took 2 weeks ago. Like, what do you know from that now? You know? And they laugh. They literally will laugh like nothing. Like, I don't remember any of it. You know, they did flash memory to get it in their head for a minute while they had to take the test. Or like I saw a study that there were AP tests where advanced placement tests were re-given to the same kids who took it. And for you guys don't know, you probably maybe don't know, AP is like a advanced placement. It's really, really challenging work. And it's a ton of information that you get, that you stuff in your head to do this test. And if you do well on the test, sometimes they'll give you credit for college during that. So they're really challenging classes, and they retested that. They usually do that in the spring, and then they retested them in the fall just to test out like how well did they retain? Did they remember that information? And kids who did great on the test after a full year of studying for it, failed. Most of them failed the test. So yeah, I mean that real, again, if we're going to ask like about what does it mean to learn things, well, then we have to ask how is the current system working?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And when do we need to learn? And I think it was in Ken Danford's book. There was an example of a kid who got really interested. He was 15. He was really interested in music production, got interested in that. And wanted to take a college class at the community college in music theory. He had done really badly in middle school and into high school in math, but he needed to take a math class so that he could take the theory class. It was required. And so instead of taking a full year of math in a subject that he didn't feel confident in previously, he took it all together. You know, in 6 weeks, he just knocked it out and he did great. Because he was motivated, because he had a goal, right? Mm-hmm. He wanted to take the theory class. And so that motivation piece seems important too. So are there any areas, I guess let's not call them subjects, but like areas of life are you most interested in? Do you have an idea about kind of what things you might want to do in your future?
I really wanted to be a game designer. I want to be a game designer. To design like a video game or whatever. When I was little, I wanted to work at Lego. And so yeah, I want to be a game designer right now.
So what sort of, like, are you thinking more of the programming end or the art side, like doing the artwork, or which, because I think video games are, it's a big team, right, that does that usually?
Probably the art side of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nice.
I like creating, like, you know, like imagining like characters, building out of Legos or whatever.
Cool. And there's like, I think there's like animation and art programs that you can learn how to draw those things too. And
writing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
Cool. Hazel, what about you?
I don't really know what I'm going to do in the future. I mean, I'm just going to like kind of see how my life goes. And however it ends up, I guess.
Okay. Open-ended. That's good. So looking back, so you're a year into unschooling, and you're, yeah, we've also got COVID, and that's messing things up in the world generally, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Kids are back in school. They just started back up. So, like, your friends, you've had a full year of this now, and you're going into year two.
Yep.
Do either of you want to go back to school?
No.
No.
Nope.
No?
I miss some of my friends, but I just... I don't want to go back.
Do you want your mom to make some worksheets for you so that you can get some of that worksheet memory back and nostalgia?
No.
About?
We did do that in the very, very beginning, a little bit of worksheets here and there, and then it didn't work even with my special touch. It didn't do it.
Yeah. Yeah. So you think you would like to keep doing this?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So now in your case... So some kids just do unschooling at home, like by themselves, kind of all the way out. And you all, it looks like you're thinking in some different ways. Can you describe that a little bit? Anybody can answer this question about kind of what you're looking at doing next and why.
So, yeah. Do you guys, why don't you guys go first?
Well, we're like moving. We're planning to move to like a area that has an ALC in it. ALC is like an agile learning center where all different kids going that are doing what we're doing go to like a building, or not even a building, maybe like a, well, yeah, then they just get to do what we do, but not at their home, but and hang out with other kids. Yeah, we might move to a place that has that, like in North Charlotte, North Carolina.
That's one possibility.
Yeah.
So, we're looking for a community, basically. You know, like for the kids and us, essentially.
Because we would like to have support, too. And it would be nice to be around other adults who believe in this way of learning as well. And obviously, they have expressed that they... you know, miss being around other kids, and when there are kids around, they have a great time and play and build and make things. So I feel like that's something we need as a family.
So yeah, so those who don't know about ALC, it's something that I think both of us have been drawn to. And one of the things so it's kind of what you guys are doing right now, but like you said, Harvey, with other kids. And then both kids and adults, that are anybody that's kind of part of that learning center, can offer to host something or lead something or help organize a book club or an outing or, you know, an epic Minecraft world building time or whatever. You know, you might do that, right? If you were in that group, you might say, I want to build a new civilization.
Yeah.
Like I'm not doing the long division, but I am building a whole world from scratch.
Yep.
Does anybody want to join me in building this world? That does seem really fun to have other people. And then those kids don't have to, right? Because they can do something else that they want to do either on their own or with another person. Yeah, that's the part that for me as a teacher, like I would love to, you know, I don't want to give up reading with kids. I love reading and writing and doing fun things. And I've had so many students who, and some of them really, a few of them in every class really like, yeah, they're really into it. Like I liked doing that writing project, but not all of them.
Mm-hmm.
I had a boy who hated reading novels. He just saw no point in reading novels. He was a really like practical kid. We did a project in my class when he was in eighth grade, and he wanted to build a motorcycle. And so he built a motorcycle, and he would report, you know, he would do a blog kind of reporting, how did it go this week? What did you do? Are you ahead of schedule or behind? Because they had to kind of create a schedule so that we could try to get this big project that they were working on done. And it was cool seeing him. He's talking about reading. He was like, yeah, I've been reading. I downloaded this manual, like this manual for like Honda motor engines, you know, how do you build an engine? And he was reading technical journals and manuals, you know, because that mattered to him. Like, he didn't think that novels mattered.
Yeah, right? Like, yeah.
Sorry?
It's an on-ramp, right? So, like, that could be said of any skill. And reading a technical manual like that, too, it's like there's all sorts of other things that go into it, not just the reading.
Yeah, deciphering the diagrams and things like that. And, you know, you look at tests, you know, that kids have to take. And informational graphics and understanding that kind of stuff is always part of those tests. So you guys are in search of a community and are even going to be transplanting to another place since it's not here. Any final thoughts as we wrap up today?
Not really. I think I'm set.
So what will you do this afternoon after we end here?
Probably do some gaming, more skateboarding, get some exercise. Stuff like that.
Are you learning any tricks on your board?
No, I'm just cruising.
Just speed.
Yeah.
It's all about the speed. Yep. Do you do the longboard or the...
Longboard.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. So those aren't really for tricks. Those are more like just like flying down the road.
Yep.
Okay.
Some people even dance on them.
Nice. Are you a skateboard dancer?
No, I'm gonna. No.
What about you, Hazel?
I'm probably gonna roller skate, do some gaming, maybe probably read for a little bit.
Cool. Travis, what about you?
I'm gonna wrap up my last day of work. I think that's good enough.
Yeah, that's a conclusion. That's cool.
Well, if I had any last final words, I would say to whoever's listening to make sure that you listen to your kids. And when they tell you that maybe things aren't going well in school or they're unhappy with something, that usually they're right and that hopefully they can do something to help them with that.
All right. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you.
Good luck with your search. I'm looking forward to hearing and following that story and seeing what comes.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining me for episode 3 of the Envisioning Education podcast. I'd like to thank Heather, Travis, Harvey, and Hazel for chatting with me today about their journey into unschooling. As I think about Heather and Travis's desire to move closer to an established self-directed learning center, I wonder how that will change the kids' unschooling experience. Having now visited several, I can't help but think that it could be a great step. Now that I've spent some time at centers where many classes and activities were underway, it seems likely that their kids might find that really stimulating. That being with other kids and exploring their interests together might be a great step on their journey. I'll be staying in touch with Heather and love to do a follow-up interview one day, especially if they end up relocating to enroll in an SD learning center. Thanks for joining me today.